Go back with me, if you would, to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. My prayer for tonight is that we might all be able to do this together. Psalm 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That's all I want to do. That is all I want to do. I was thinking about how the Apostle Paul said that his great concern was that men and women might lose sight of the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity. And if the Lord God does not do this for a sinner, it's impossible for a sinner to do this. With man, it's impossible. But if He would enable us to do this, there is nothing simpler than bowing down, kneeling down, worshiping the Lord our Maker. And I just want to do that. I pray that the Lord might just let us in our hearts bow before Him, kneel before Him, worship Him, just worship Him. If we could do that, my soul would be fed. The songs that we just sang, I really enjoyed those songs. And in my heart, I was singing those words, and I feel fed. If we can worship Him, if we can really just for one brief moment shut down all the distractions of life and the world and sin and the flesh, God's going to have to do it. But if He will bring us together, sit us down, clothe us in His Spirit, put us in our right minds for just a second, then we'll worship Him. Oh, we'll glorify Him. We will thank Him for wearing that thorn crown on His brow and say, oh, I love You. Every time I get a chance to see that, I love You for wearing that crown on Your brow. If we can worship Him, if we really can bow down, we'll be fed. We will all be fed. Our souls will be fed. Our hearts will be happy. I pray we might all walk out of here happy tonight. Fed and happy. Full and happy. Just like Isaiah 55 says, let thy soul delight itself in fatness. The word kneel in verse 6 means delight. When you look up these words, it was interesting to me. I get the concordance out and look up these words. And worship means bow down. He said, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel. Worship, bow down, kneel. Worship means bow down. Bow down means kneel. Kneel means adore, bless, delight in. Let us adore Him. Let us bless Him. Let us delight in Him. That's what glory is going to be. That's glory right now. Every time we're doing that, we're in glory. Every time our hearts are delighting in Him. Nothing, I'm telling you, nothing sounds better to me than that right there. Nothing sounds better. When I started preparing this message, that I was reading and that scripture grabbed me, and I immediately thought, that's Wednesday night's message, and if the Lord would let me do that, I would be a happy man. Nothing sounds better than that. I just want to adore Him. I just want to delight in Him. Adore, the word adore means to deeply love and admire and desire. Delight means to take great pleasure in. You know, a lot of people don't take great pleasure in this. They don't take great pleasure in the Word. They don't take pleasure in the Word. They don't take pleasure in worship and in bowing down. What a blessed people we are. If we have been given the ability to adore Him and delight in Him. Look with me, if you would, at Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And I just want to say that we all fall into that category as much as anybody else. Don't fret over what you see in yourself. That's what he's saying. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass." Aren't you looking forward to the day that this sinful flesh is cut down like the grass? "They'll be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." What is good? Trusting in the Lord. "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." Just delight in the Lord. Just trust Him. Delight in Him. "And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Commit thy way unto the Lord. Just cast your all on Him. Trust also in Him. Verse 3, he said, "Trust Him." Verse 5, he said, "Trust Him too. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Verse 6, "And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." Watch verse 11. "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." He said, don't fret, just delight. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in His righteousness. Who is a person? Delight yourself in His rest. Who is a person? Delight yourself in His peace. Who is a person? Christ our righteousness, Christ our rest, Christ our peace. The longer we go, the more that's going to be proven to us. Christ is our righteousness. This wicked flesh is good for nothing but to be cut down. This evildoer right here needs to be cut down. This is the man who is prevailing. But he said the Lord's going to take care of him. And the Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our rest. The Lord is our peace. The righteousness that He's given to us. The rest He earned for us. The peace He accomplished. With God, with sin, with judgment, with death, with our souls. He did every bit of that with His blood. And He says, David says, we all say, just adore it. Just adore it. Delight in it. Just delight in him. Delight in his blood. Delight in his work. Delight in his will. Delight in who he is. Delight in what he did. Delight in why he did it. That he might bring us to be with him. Look with me at Psalm 94. The psalm just before our text here. You'll see why I'm reading this in just a minute. Psalm 94, verse 1 says, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. How do you know all this, David? How do you know that's the truth concerning man? How many times has David said in this word, that's me? I know all this about sinful man because I'm one of them. I'm a sinful man. Oh, how wicked I am. You think about Psalm 51. How rebellious I am. How foolish. That's what David said about himself. Oh, how foolish I was. If God did not show grace and mercy to me through the blood of my Savior, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I would have stayed right there in the hardness of my rebellious, sinful heart against Him. But this is what David said in another psalm. He said, I was a sheep going astray. But though I was as a sheep going astray, he called me to be one of his own. The Lord is my shepherd, and I'm not going to want. Bless the Lord for that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 12 right here, he said, blessed is the man whom the Lord chasteneth. O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. You talk about something worth adoring. The Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. He made a covenant, and he's going to keep it. Verse 15, but judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Verse 17, he said, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, help me up. When I said, my foot is slipping, I'm going down, he said, your mercy is what was holding me up. Verse 19, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. David said, you chastened us, you taught us, you gave us rest, you kept us, you didn't forsake us, you brought judgment to us in righteousness, in Christ. And you drew us to follow you. He said, you are our help. Your mercy has held us up, and your comfort has delighted our souls. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. It's good news, good news, good news, good news. All that bad news is about me. It's about what I've done. All that good news is about Him and what He's done in spite of me. That verse that is our text, that's about the only appropriate response that there is to seeing these absolutely wonderful things that the Lord has done for us. Let us worship Him. Let us bow down and let us kneel. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Look at our text here. Psalm 95, verse 1 says, Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I love that verse that says, Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Let me rejoice in Him. When you need a sure foundation, it sure is nice to see the rock that is higher than I. When the billows are coming and you're overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. That's the response of an adoring, delighted heart. Let me rejoice. Let me make a joyful noise to the rock of my salvation. Verse 2 says, Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Let us give thanks. Let us sing to Him. You know, I love singing. I love music. I love singing. And I love the fact that the Lord created it. The Lord took part in it. And heaven is filled with it. We're going to sing. We're going to give thanks for all eternity. We are going to give thanks for all eternity. Verse 3 says, For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. This is our adoration. He's a great God. We're going to be saying that for all eternity. What a great God. Who is the great God? The great King is the great God. Who is the great King? Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth. Pilate, I love whenever he was standing before Pilate in total control. You know, they laid hands on him because that's what his counsel predetermined for to be done. They beat him and spit on him and pulled his beard and struck him with a rod because that's what his counsel predetermined for to be done. That's what he recorded in his word would be done. And he is standing there being interrogated by Pilate, and Pilate asked him, he said, So are you a king then? And our Lord's response was, You said it. Thou sayest it. I love Psalm 24, which cries to the gates of heaven. You think about this. Psalm 24 cries to the gates of heaven. It says, Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Be looking. Be ready. Who is this King of glory? The Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. Strong and mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. I don't know if we'll ever really do any adoring, have any true adoration down here in this sinful, hard, stale, ruined, wicked flesh. But can you imagine in that day, seeing the King of glory? I want to watch Him. I want to adore Him and delight in watching Him walk through the everlasting doors. I want to delight in Him ascending to His throne. I want to watch Him sit there. Whatever it is He does, it's going to be glorious. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Let us bless him. Let us delight ourselves in him. Verse 3 right here says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." He made it. He owns it. It all belongs to him. He made us. He owns us. We belong to him. Verse 6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." He is worthy of our love. He's worthy of our thankfulness. He's worthy of our adoration. He's worthy of all of our adoring of him, because he is our God. He is the God who saved us. He saved us from ourselves. You just think about that for 1 minute. He saved us from ourselves. He saved us from our blatant disobedience, all of our sin against him. And then not only did he save us, but he became the shepherd over us to lead us and to feed us and to keep us, protect us. What a great God, great King and a great God. Now, from this point on, these remaining words, these are the words of our Lord's command to his people, which commandment they broke. We broke. Which command, all right, this is what we broke. Verse 7 goes on to say, this is the Lord speaking, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." This is what makes everything such worthy of adoration, such worthy of praise, such worthy of glorying in. He said, "Harden not your heart, as in the provocation," that time of provoking, "and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." Who does that sound like he's describing? Erred in their heart, not known my ways. Verse 11, "unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." You know what the wages of sin is? Death. Being cast out. You know what Christ did for us? He died for us. He was cast out, separated from God. David is saying, and all of God's people say, had the Lord not been merciful to us. All we have to do is just look at one commandment from him. He said, don't harden your heart. Don't err from my ways. That's all we've done. That's all I have done is harden my heart. Tempted him, provoked him, erred from his way. Oh, if the Lord had not been merciful to us, had the Lord not helped us and been gracious to us, and had he not judged us in his own righteousness, judged us in Christ. I read that, I know we all do, we read that and we think, I'm condemned. I'm condemned. Had he judged us in our own work, our own sin, we would have been just like every other soul that's going to go down to the pit. Thank God for the rock of our salvation. Thank God for the blood of our Savior, our Shepherd, our King. Let's just worship him. Let's bow down before him. Let's adore him. Let's delight ourselves in him. Him. If we're going to adore him, then it all has to be about him. All has to be about him. We know he's the Savior. But why is he our Savior? Because Christ came. When those angels announced his birth, they said, "Unto you is born this day a Savior." Glory to God in the highest. Praise, honor. We know he is the King, but why is he our King? It's because Christ came. Those wise men, they came saying, "Where is he that is born King, born into this world, our King?" We've come to adore him, bow down to him, and that's what they came to do, isn't it? Adore him, bow down him, worship him. We know that he is the shepherd, but why is he our shepherd? It's because Christ came. He came to be our sacrificed lamb so that we could be his sheep. Behold, adore, bow down before, worship the great shepherd who made himself to be the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 6 says, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." I know I quote this quite often, but to me, this is adoring. This is adoring. I love that song or that poem or whatever it is that says, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." Just adoring, adoration, praise, worship. This adoring, this adoration, this deep love and desire that we have to bow down before him and worship him. If we have that desire right now, if God has given that desire to us right now, we're going to carry that with us for all eternity. We'll have it for all eternity. Go with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7, verse 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb." The throne and the Lamb, the King and the sacrifice, "clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." God, King, Savior. Verse 11. "And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God." They fell down on their faces. They bowed down and worshiped God. Verse 12, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore," and I love that word right there, "therefore, because of the blood of that Lamb, because of that washing and that cleansing and everything Christ did for them." Verse 15 says, "Therefore are they before the throne of God, And they serve him day and night in his temple because he did that for them. That's what made them worthy and acceptable to even be before the throne of God. And because he did that for them, they love him so much and they adore him so much, they don't want to leave the throne of God. They want to stand before the throne day and night worshiping him, worshiping him. And that adoration is never going to go away. They're going to bow down. They're going to kneel. They're going to worship him forever. Verse 15 goes on to say, "And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Honestly, this is the only response I know to have to all that. Oh, come, let us worship, and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. May the Lord let us do that. May the Lord let us do that in heart, soul, and every fiber of our being, as often as he'll let us do that. Now, I know that the traditional time to sing this song is over, but I believe this is about the most appropriate song to end with. Stand with me, if you would, and turn to hymn number 100.